Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The last 12 years were simply devoted to relishing the pastimes of Krishna and separation within the heart of the Lord. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed the position of the gopis in separation from Krishna. When Krishna left the gopis and went to Mathura, the gopis cried for him the rest of their lives, feeling intense separation from him. This ecstatic feeling of separation was specifically advocated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his actual demonstrations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki. Om Agnatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Mrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Ari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivazadhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shesha Araye Rahe Dwadasha Vatsar Krishna Viraha Lila Prabhurantar. The last 12 years were simply devoted to relishing the pastimes of Krishna and separation within the heart of the Lord. So, this is opening of some very deep topic matter. The mood of separation and the mood of Krishna and the gopis in this mood of separation. As soon as I read this, I was reminded of one incident that happened once. I was giving the Sunday feast talk at Soho Street, and afterwards we have like questions and answers time, and a few devotees came up, and then at the end, after other devotees had left, one young lady came up to me, and she was holding a Krishna book in her hand, and she was very, very new, probably a couple of months she had been coming. And she said, I have a question, can I ask you? And I said, yeah, sure, that's the whole point. And she said, well, I've been reading this book. And I said, oh, wonderful, Krishna book. You're hearing all about Krishna's pastimes. And she said, yeah, and it's quite amazing. A lot I don't understand. A lot of the names I can't pronounce, but she's from Western body. And she said, but I've finally gotten to this one chapter, this one part. And I said, oh, what part is that? And she said, well, it's Krishna and the gopis. And I said, oh, okay, great. So what's your question? And she said, well, I'm reading it and I understand that there's, you know, this process of bhakti yoga seems to be a lot about love. She said, but what I don't understand or what I want clarification on is that from reading this section, I understand that when Krishna, when he left the gopis, that they were kind of put in this mood of deep desperation and anxiety. And I just want to know is it true that the whole goal of this process is to be in deep anxiety and love for Krishna? And I said, yes, actually, you've understood correctly. And then she said, oh, okay then, thank you. Anyway, she's still a devotee. This is many, many years later, so it's not exactly the easiest thing to understand, but as we can see, this mood of separation. Of course, we all know the famous saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. So like that. But Hare Krishna Puji. I was thinking about this mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also, of course, we hear here that the last 12 years were spent in this deep mood of separation. But Srila Prabhupada, he often condemns a certain mentality, which is one that tries to jump ahead. There's this mood of the sahajya, which is that we artificially try to put ourselves in a space of, usually it's union or connectivity with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada often condemns this and also condemns jumping ahead too quickly to something that may not actually really fully make sense or that we haven't really fully understood. And I was thinking about the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how we know, or we may not know, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here on the planet for how many years? 48 years. So he was present for 48 years. And the first 24 of those was spent more or less at home with family, Grihastha Ashram, his childhood pastimes, and then coming to the point of marriage and like that. But then something happened at the age of 24. By that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had inaugurated the Sankirtan mission and the chanting of the holy names was going on. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very scholarly, known as Nimai Pandit. In his younger days, he had defeated Keshava Kashmiri, who was the Digvijay of that time. And Lord Chaitanya's mood was more one of self-sacrifice. Sometimes we can be acting in a mood that is really, it keeps us at the center. And it's kind of all about what I want and what I need, what's best for me. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said also, first we have to save ourselves before we can save others. So it's not to say that we should be neglectful. But at the same time, sometimes it is easy. I don't know if anyone has experienced to become self-absorbed. You know, that it's really, we put ourselves in the center of the universe and kind of Krishna's a little bit off to the side here somewhere and we invite him in every now and again. But we're kind of in the center. At least for me, that's always a big problem. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the age of 24, he had such a wonderful mother, wonderful wife. You know, the Sankirtan mission was going on. But he recognized that something was happening also. And what was that? It was that some people were escaping. Some people were getting away from the inundation of the Harinam Sankirtan mission. And because of this, he wanted to engulf everyone. He wanted to bring everyone into the Sankirtan mission. So at the young age of 24, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that he should take sannyas. But the mood of taking sannyas wasn't one of, let me take sannyas and, you know, then I'll be a big person. Everyone will bow down to me. Of course, his mood was that everyone will bow down to me, but for a different reason. And it wasn't that he was thinking that I am some great person in this way. But actually, his mood of taking sannyas was completely in a mood of self-sacrifice. That he took sannyas simply because he thought, if I take the sannyas order, then these persons who are trying to escape, out of custom, they will be forced to at least bow down to me. And in that way, the agyata sukriti, some devotional piety will be created for them, and there will be hope for them, and they won't escape. So, of course, the pastime of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas is one of intensity. Because everyone loved Lord Chaitanya so much. Nimai of Nadia. Everyone loved him so much. But then one day he decided that this is it, I'm going to do it. And he went off to Katwa. And there was a big gathering of persons who were bathing, because it was, I think, Makara Sankranti. I think it's the auspicious occasion that he went off. And he met His Holiness Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And he asked him, please, give me sannyas. And of course, Keshava Bharati began to say, why? I can't give you sannyas because you have such a wonderful mother, wonderful wife, everything is so good for you. Why do you want to take sannyas? You're so young. You're such a young man. So many years ahead of you. And then others heard that he was planning to take sannyas. And by this time also, Sachi Mata had realized that Lord Chaitanya, that Nimai had left, and that he was planning to also take sannyas, just like his brother Vishwaroop. And she was plunged into desperation. And she started telling all the devotees, and all the devotees just started to weep. Weep and cry. And some of them began to rush to Katwa to catch Lord Chaitanya, to catch Nimai, and try and stop him. So the story is very intense, the whole scene. But eventually, Nimai got his way, and Keshava Bharati Maharaj agreed to give him sannyas. And then they called the barber, because Lord Chaitanya had these long, beautiful locks of hair. And they called in the barber to begin to shave Lord Chaitanya, because the mood of renunciation means to shave off the hairs that can make you feel a little beautiful and attractive, you know. I've been working on my sikha recently, trying to make it look very nice. You know, we have so many attachments, I think, and what was it, Srila Prabhupada was talking about Lord Chaitanya. And he said, Lord Chaitanya has come to save you. Right? But all the devotees heard, Lord Chaitanya has come to shave you. And he was talking to all the hippies who all had these long hairs. And then they were like, oh no. Of course, we know in Kali Yuga that one's beauty and prestige is shown by the adornment of all these wonderful locks of hair. So in comes the barber. Bring. Of course, they didn't have electric buzzers then. Came in with the shears, ready to cut Lord Chaitanya's hair. And the devotees were just plunged into desperation, crying, begging Lord Chaitanya, please, please don't do this. Why? Why were they all crying? Sannyas should be a glorious moment, right? He's stepping up and he's doing it for this reason, to save the fallen conditioned souls. So why were all the devotees crying? What was the problem? Chant and be happy. And they weren't just like crying a little bit. They were like literally collapsing on the floor and becoming unconscious, crying in desperation. Why? Because they knew that once Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, what would happen? He was going to go. He wasn't going to be in Navadvipa anymore. It was going to be the beginning of an intense time of separation. And the devotees were plunged into despair because of this. But Lord Chaitanya continued. I think part of the pastime is half of his head got shaved and then he went into a fit of ecstasy, right? And he jumped up and he began chanting and dancing in kirtan with half his head shaved. Maybe this is where the trend for people who have half their head shaved has originally come from. And he was dancing in ecstasy, but all the devotees were just still crying in desperation. And eventually, finally, Lord Chaitanya, all of his hair shaved, and then he whispered into the ear of Keshava Bharati Maharaj, and he said, Maharaj, last night I had a dream. And in this dream, I dreamt that you initiated me into the sannyas order with this mantra. And then he recited the mantra. And he said, is this the mantra that you're going to initiate me into the sannyas order with? And Keshava Bharati said, oh yes, that is the mantra. So it's described that first Lord Chaitanya initiated Keshava Bharati Maharaj, and then Keshava Bharati Maharaj initiated Lord Chaitanya. And then he took sannyas. And what was the first thing that he did after he took sannyas? He immediately wanted to go to Vrindavan. Of course, his intentions were thwarted. And that's a whole other story. But he immediately left. And it's described that he then left, and more or less for 6 years, he just traveled around to all the holy places. And then eventually he came back and he took permission, actually, from his mother and asked her, where should I stay? Where should I find my abode, my fixed abode? And where did she say? She said, you should go to Puri. Go to Jagannath Puri, because then at least the devotees will be able to come and visit you. And of course, Sachi Mataji wasn't able to go and visit Lord Chaitanya because he had taken sannyas. So then for the next 18 years, Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri. And of those 18 years, 6 years, he was preaching intensely. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gorni Tai Ki Jai. And for 12 years he was in a very intense state of separation himself from Krishna. So one might ask that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas in order to save a few people, a few persons, Meanwhile, he plunged everyone, all of his friends, all of his family, all of the inhabitants of Navadvipa, he plunged them into complete despair. And he left them. And one might think from a materialistic perspective that this is actually quite a harsh thing to do, quite a callous activity. That in the name of saving a few people, you go off here, but you leave your entire family and friends and community behind. But actually, if we understand the deeper spiritual and esoteric essences, then actually by his leaving, what he did was he actually created a space and an environment for them to make even greater spiritual advancement. Because in union with someone, in connection with someone, it's easy to become complacent. What is the saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. So if you're always around someone, you might be kind of like, yeah, they're always there, and you take them for granted. It's easy to take persons for granted who are around us. And we see that as soon as there's the possible threat of them not being around, then we start to feel a little different in the heart. You know, whether it's because they're moving on. For parents, when the child gets married, you know, they're leaving home. I remember seeing, what is it called? The last part of the marriage ceremony where the girl says goodbye to the family. What's that called? Vidai, yes. So what's that? Yeah, the vidai. I remember actually, because I was married here and we had that part of the ceremony. And by the time we got in the car to leave, she was crying so bad and everybody was crying. And I thought, well, this is a miserable way to start a marriage. My God. You know, should have got married in a church. They at least throw rice and everybody says, have a good time. I was like, what is going on here? But actually, the deeper level, of course, you know, that might not necessarily be a deep spiritual, profound realization, but the deeper thing is that because of that love, one is missing the association of someone else. So when someone is going to be departing our company, or whether it's imminent death, you know. Death. It's coming to us all, right? I forget, someone was mentioning the other day, what, I think it was at this meeting, about this interview with Prabhupada, and he said, so what do you, something like you talk a lot about death, so what is the rate of death or something, what was it? Yeah, the death rate is much higher, and Prabhupada said, death rate? 100%. Everybody here has got to go. So, but it's so easy to take it for granted until it's right on the cusp, right? Until we realize that this is possibly the end. Probably better is, while we have some time, we should make the most of it. But it's so difficult because familiarity breeds contempt. And when you're in the association, you don't really make the most out of it. You just take it for granted. But this mood of separation, it means that I'm not with this person. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a woman who has a paramour, and how when she's not with her paramour, and she's maybe with the husband, but she's always thinking of the paramour. Her mind is always absorbed in thinking of this other person. Even though she's performing all the activities and doing everything, and she does all those activities, he describes, even better, because she doesn't want to be discovered or found out. So everything is done with such intensity because the mind is dwelling and thinking about this union. We use Sanskrit or Bengali terms, viparlamba and sambhog. So this mood of sambhog, this is when we come together and we can enjoy. Vipralamba is when we are separated. So this mood of separation, it actually increases the pleasure that comes from union. So when Lord Chaitanya left and took sannyas and was traveling, what he was actually doing was creating a much more intense and higher level of mental concentration and an outpouring of love, because in that mood of separation, devotees were always thinking about him, always meditating on him. In the same way that when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, or when he left the rasa dance, that the gopis were flung into despair and desperation. You know, the scene of Akrura coming to take Krishna, I think this is the comparable scene, right, to Lord Chaitanya's taking sannyas. That Akrura came, and once Krishna boarded the chariot and started to leave, the devotees were just chasing after the chariot. Again, crying, everyone crying, no, no, please don't leave us. Cursing Akrura. Cursing Akrura, pure devotee, cursing him. Why are you taking Krishna away from us? So this mood of separation, we see that actually amongst the acharyas, that actually this idea of union, I remember hearing early on one devotee saying that the closer you get to Krishna, the more you realize just how far away you really are. And in the beginning, you might think, yeah, me and Krishna, you know, we're like that. It's just this. And then later you realize, well, me and Krishna, maybe we're a little bit like that. Okay, maybe we're a bit like this. And then it's like, so far to go to actually be connected with Krishna. So those who kind of enter into the mood of thinking that they're always connected with Krishna, again, this sahajiya mentality is not really the mood of our sampradaya, of our Vaishnavacharyas, who are always crying that they wish they could get close to Krishna. Calling out, where is Krishna? Looking for Krishna, searching for Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur, praying, when will I be able to see Krishna, serve Krishna, be close to Krishna? Lord Chaitanya, Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Yor Das Anudas Anudas. That approaching Krishna, I'm so far away from Krishna, I just have to serve the devotees of the devotees of the devotees of Krishna. So this mood of feeling ourselves separated from Krishna, not thinking that we are with Krishna, yearning to be with Krishna. When we chant our rounds, Srila Prabhupada said we should chant the holy names like a child cries out for its mother, which is very much the mood of separation. We see that when a child is separated from its mother, immediately starts to cry and cry and cry. But as soon as the mother shows up and takes the child again, then the child is, so relieved. The unfortunate thing is we really don't feel that anxiety. We don't really feel that often, at least I don't, that anxiety of separation from Krishna. We don't feel like when we're chanting, I'm calling out to Krishna, please help me, I'm in such a fallen condition. Probably we really like it here, actually, in the material world. So we're not in a state of desperation and missing Krishna. We're kind of a little comfortable, actually. You know, I can chant my rounds and do my WhatsApp messages while I'm chanting my rounds and get a few other things done too. Walk around, chant this, that. We're not really thinking like calling out to Krishna, Krishna, I am lost. I'm lost in this world without you. I need you. Please, please, Krishna, help me. Mood of separation. We're probably not in Sambhog either. We're kind of in some neutral state of in between. But this is the mood that we should be cultivating. And ultimately, the more that we cultivate this mood of understanding just how far away we are from Krishna and how much we need to call out to Krishna and beg Krishna and get the mercy of Krishna's devotees, get the mercy of the spiritual master, the more that we feel ourselves in a helpless condition without the mercy of the Lord, the more that we'll actually make progress and advancement. And the more that we feel complacent, and the more that we think that everything's okay, what is the saying, I'm all right, Jack, everything's cool with me, you know, chanting my 16 rounds, like Prabhupada said, I chanted my 16 rounds, now I can do whatever I like, you know. The more that we're in this space, probably the less we're making progress. Prabhupada said, spiritual life is like swimming upstream. It's a perpetual battle. It's a perpetual fight. Every day, you know, just getting out of bed just is a perpetual fight to try to be Krishna conscious. And if we think we're treading water, right? We think, oh no, I'll just tread water here for a little while and I'm safe, everything's okay. But the current of the material energy is so strong, it's so powerful that it's actually pushing us downstream, pulling us away from Krishna. So we have to perpetually fight like this to try to be Krishna conscious. In one sense, it may be our birthright, you know, because we're all parts and parcels of Krishna, but it requires some endeavor. We have to make some endeavor. It's not just going to fall on us automatically, in case we haven't noticed that already. So we have to make some endeavor. Anyway, I will stop here if anyone has any questions or corrections.